It's Tuned to Yesterday. Welcome, I'm Mark Levanier, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. Coming up in this hour, situation comedy. You'll hear the sitcom My Favorite Husband later on with Lucille Ball. But right now, it's Jane and Goodman Ace in Mr. Ace and Jane. Goodman, the head writer of the show, was coming off of the long-running success of Easy Aces and departing his work as a comedy and variety supervisor for CBS. On the very same network, we hear the first episode of Mr. Ace and Jane from January 16, 1948.
From New York City comes now the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 1, entitled Jane's Brother Paul, who hasn't worked in 12 years, tries to borrow $200 from Mr. Ace. And Mr. Ace says, "Why don't you go to work?" And Paul says, "Don't use that four-letter word in front of my sister." Or, as Mr. Ace would put it,
"Am I my brother-in-law's keeper?" Let me tell you exactly what happened. First, I want to say that the characters in this story are not fictitious. Very often, I wish to heaven they were, especially Jane's brother, Paul. Although Paul is allergic to work and is the laziest guy I know, I must admit he is obnoxious. Paul never shows it, but I know he hates me.
I never show it, but I hate him.
He can't stand the sight of me.
I can't stand the sight of him.
Behind my back, he calls me names.
Communist.
12 years ago, Paul was in a little automobile accident. He's been collecting $10 a month on a little insurance policy. But if he ever goes to work, they'll stop paying him that big $10 annuity, so he can't work. The guy was lucky enough to have escaped out of the accident alive, and now he wants to be paid for it. That's robbing St. Peter to pay Paul. The one I really feel sorry for is Paul's wife, Arlene. She's been married 10 years and has always been destitute.
I've been married 10 years and have always been destitute.
She never has any new clothes.
I never have any new clothes.
She's too old to go to work.
I never have any new clothes.
How do they live? Well, you've heard of people who live by their wits. Paul lives by his wits. Of course, with him, that's only half living. The other half, Jane takes care of. Jane and I are the typical average married couple living in a typical little eastern town of New York City. Population 7 million. Give or take one. And if you're going to take one, take my brother-in-law. Or for that matter, take Jane. When Jane makes up her mind to do something for Paul, she does it.
When I make up my mind to do something for Paul, I do it.
She's completely uninhibited.
I'm completely uninhabited.
And her arguments are unequivocally irrefutable.
Yes.
I should have suspected something the day we got married 15 years ago. The day Paul asked if he could come along on our honeymoon. And I said, no. And Jane said, oh, let him come along, dear. He's never been on a honeymoon. And I should have suspected something the other night after dinner when Jane and I were sitting around the living room and Jane gave me that guess who routine. It went something like this.
Well, dear, guess who called me up today?
Rochelle Hudson.
No.
I give up.
My brother, Paul.
Oh? How much did he want this time?
Oh, he's fine.
No, I say...
Arlene's fine, too.
Yes, I say how much...
You know that next week they will have been married 10 years. My, how time flies.
Yeah.
It seems like only a year ago they were married only 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he told me 10 years, you could have knocked me down with a fender. I said, Paul, you mean to say that you've been married? Now, just a minute, dear. What did you mean, how much did he want? Who said anything about money?
Oh, then he didn't want any money.
Who said he didn't?
Well, which is it?
$200.
Jane, I'm not going to give it to him. Why doesn't the guy go to work?
Oh, now, dear, you know there are many reasons.
I'd like to hear them.
Well, the third reason is
Wait just a minute. What happened to win and place?
Beg pardon?
What are the first two reasons?
Well, first, because he was sick last year.
Oh, sure.
You know, he was just about to get a job when he got intentional flu.
I knew you'd finally come up with the right word.
Well, the flu isn't to be sneezed at.
What's another good reason?
Well, like Paul says, what's the dollar worth today? Practically nothing.
Oh, he's not going to work until the dollar gets back to what it should be worth.
Yes, 57 cents.
Of course, naturally.
You remember how we used to be able to get meat and butter practically au gratin?
Au gratin?
Free.
Free, naturally.
Well, Paul says if you'll lend him $200, he'll be forever indebted to you.
Forever is what I'm afraid of.
He needs it for something very important. Mm. He didn't want to tell me in front of Arlene, but he'll tell you when he comes to see you at 9:30 tomorrow at your office.
Jane, I haven't got 200 bucks to throw away.
What's not throwing it away? Are you insinuating that my brother isn't going to pay you back?
Oh, no, of course not. He's as good as gone. Gold.
Why, he's as good as the Bank of England.
That's what I mean. As usual, when I get into an argument with Jane about her brother, I ran second and paid $2.80 to place. Because the next morning when I got to my office... I ought to tell you this. I work in the advertising business. Make a nice living, minus withholding and Social Security. It's a pretty fair job. Of course, Jane always exaggerates my importance there by telling everybody I'm a big cog in the machinery.
He's a big cog in the machinery.
The only thing I can't stand about the job is my secretary, Miss Anderson. Why don't I get rid of her? She's a cousin of Jane's, twice removed. That is, I removed her twice, but Jane got her back three times. With the score now 3-2 in her favor, Miss Anderson practically runs the office her way.
I practically run the office my way.
She never thinks of me as her boss.
I never think of him as my boss.
She considers me primitive in my business methods and practically a Neanderthal in this atomic age.
He's a schmoll.
Oh, she's a doll. D-U-L-L. So I got to my office about 9:30 the next morning, and I asked Miss Anderson if there had been any calls.
Oh, yes, Sam Davis called.
Sam Davis? Who's he? What did he want?
Well, he wanted a date for Saturday night. So I told him I was going to the movie Saturday night with Bill Wilson.
Yes, I know.
And I gave him Wednesday night. We're going dancing. Sam's an awfully good dancer, much better than Bill. And Sam...
Miss Anderson, please, any sideline calls? I mean, for me, the advertising business, you remember?
Oh, let me see. There was somebody. What was it now?
Isn't that awful? Well, if it comes to you, Miss Anderson, you'll be in touch with me. I'll just go into my office and wait.
Oh, sure. I'll let you know if it comes to me.
Isn't that awful?
Well, there you are. Is that a nice thing to do, keep your brother-in-law waiting?
Oh, Miss Anderson, is this the...
Yes, that's it. Your brother-in-law is waiting in your office to see you.
Yeah. Miss Anderson, take a letter.
A letter?
To China, and don't hurry back.
Very funny.
Hmm.
Well, brother, how's the world treating you?
Not very often.
I haven't seen you in some time. How long has it been?
Oh, about $25 ago.
Yes, has been 90 days, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not worried about that 25, are you?
Oh, no, I took it off my income.
Oh, deducted it from your income tax, huh?
No, just from my income. Paul, would you mind taking your overcoat off my desk?
Sure. Excuse me. Recognize the overcoat?
Yes, I do.
2 winters ago.
Mm.
Remember that cold winter and you were going to get a new coat and you decided you might as well give me this one Jane told you?
Look, Paul, I'm quite busy this morning.
You know what I wish you'd get? A camel hair polo coat.
You know what I wish you'd get?
What?
To the point. You want me to give you $200. Is that it?
Not give. Lend.
The answer is no.
Oh, now, wait a minute, brother. It isn't myself I want the 200.
I haven't got 200.
It's for Arlene. We have a 10th wedding anniversary next Wednesday, and I want to get her something she needs pretty bad.
For $200?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm getting her a tonsillectomy.
You're going to have your wife's tonsils removed as an anniversary present?
Why not? It's something practical.
Mm. Something she wouldn't buy for herself.
Yeah, that's it. Now, how about it? Let me have the 200?
No.
Well, that's a fine way for a
Paul,
brother-in-law
I'm through giving you money. I haven't got $200 to throw away.
Well, could you make it 100?
Oh, you're going to have whatever tonsils out?
Yeah. No. I could pay $100 down.
And then get the rest for me later. Nothing doing. I can't afford it. It's not the principal, it's the money. And all the other money I've given you.
Well, I'm going to pay you back. I keep track of everything.
I'm sorry, Paul. No. And look, if you have to come to my office and sit around with your feet scratching up my desk, I wish you wouldn't be wearing my shoes. Well, if this were anybody else but Jane's brother Paul, the incident would be closed, and at this point I would be saying, we're a little late, folks, so good night. But you don't know Paul and Jane. With them, there's plenty of material for a half-hour show, and enough left over for Arthur Godfrey. Because with my no ringing in his ears and my overcoat hanging on his back, Paul walked direct from my office to my home to see my wife in my shoes. Yes, before we look in on this tender little scene, I want to tell you that, like the typical average family, we happen to live next door to a radio announcer, a fellow named Ken Roberts. Ken is the only celebrity Jane knows, and every time he comes to the house, which is about once a day, Jane gets his autograph. Ken loves it.
I love it. Love is spelled L-O-V-E.
Like all announcers, Ken is always spelling out everything. He's sort of a ham.
I'm sort of a ham. Ham is spelled H-A-M.
He's always practicing his commercials for Jane.
If you're not satisfied, return the unused portion of our product, and we will return the unused portion of your money.
So, before Paul got to the house, Ken was visiting with Jane.
Hey, Jane, that's an attractive dress you're wearing today.
You do? Well, thanks. And may I return the compliment and say it's one of my favorites, too. Where have you been, Ken? Long face, no see.
Oh, you mean yesterday. Well,
mm-hmm.
I was busy down at the studio all day practicing announcing. I stood in front of that microphone and gave it everything I had. Had is spelled H-A-D.
What did you announce?
Oh, anything that came to my mind. Mind is spelled M-I-N-D.
You mean you just made up commercials out of whole wheat?
Yeah. In a commercial, it doesn't matter what you say, just so you sell it. Like, this show is brought to you by the Krovner Company, makers of those delicious, tasty after-shaving lozenges. 4 out of 5 doctors have studied medicine. And remember our famous money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, you can get double your money back by writing direct to the Krovner Company, Newark, New Jersey, Post Office Box 27. I'll repeat that address, the Krovner Company, Dallas, Texas, Post Office Box 10. That's the Krovner Company, spelled C-O-M-P-A-N-Y, Company. Scientists have proved that 4 out of 5 is 80%.
Excuse me, Ken, there's somebody at the door.
A product of the Krovner Company for over 50 years, dispensers of quality products.
Excuse me, Ken, there's somebody...
Yes, 50 years ago, the Krovner Company dispensed with quality.
Ken, please.
What?
The door.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane. I guess I got carried away.
Oh, it's my brother. Hello, Paul.
Oh, sis, I was just over talking to that husband of yours.
Just fine. Oh, well, you remember Ken Roberts, don't you, Paul?
What? Oh, sure. Hiya, Ken.
Hiya, Paul. Paul is spelled P-A-U-L.
Well, Janie, he turned me down.
He did?
My own brother-in-law wouldn't lend me $200. I've got to have that money, Jane, and you've got to help me.
$200? I haven't got $200 to Jane.
To Jane?
To my name.
Well, can't you borrow it from somebody? Like, say, a next-door neighbor, for instance.
You mean from Ken?
Ken is spelled N-O.
Oh, what kind of a town is this? Isn't there any place a fella can borrow $200?
Friends, do you need money? Come to the Confidential Loan Company. You can borrow up to $300 on one signature alone, and every transaction is treated confidentially.
What's that, Ken?
Well, that's a commercial I do every week. Say, Paul, why don't you go down there and borrow the money?
Confidential Loan Company.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never thought of that. How about it, sis? Will you sign my note for me?
Oh, sure, Paul.
Now, Jane, wait a minute. Don't you think you ought to ask your husband first? He might not like this.
Well, he won't know. It's confidential, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll drive you both down in my car if you make it snappy.
Well, thanks, Ken. I'll only be a minute. I want to put on my mink coat. That's spelled B-E-A-V-E-R.
So Jane and her brother Paul decided to go to the Confidential Loan Company. All this I didn't know. I had turned Paul down, and I thought that was the end of it. I was living in a fool's paradise. Mighty pretty country, though, especially up around Lake Marijuana. Well, as the crime was reconstructed to me later, Jane and her brother Paul arrived at the loan company, and Jane was the MC, as usual.
How do you do? I'm Mrs. Ace.
How do you do? What can I do for you, madam?
Well, we'd like to see some money, please.
I beg your pardon?
We'd like to see some of that money you advertised to land. What is your name?
See some.
How do you do, Mr. See Some?
How do you do?
This is my brother, Paul Sherwood. This is Mr. See Some, Paul.
How do you do, Mr. See Some?
How do you? No, I'm Mr. Wilkes.
You said See Some.
No, you said See Some.
No, Mr. See Some. I said, what is your name?
My name is Wilkerson.
How do you do? I'm still Mrs. A.
How do you do?
And this is still my brother, Paul Sherwood.
How do you still... Did you say you want to borrow some money?
Please, Mr. Seasom, not so long. It's allowed. It says confidential. Are you the confidence man I have to see?
I'm Mr. Wilkerson, in charge of loans. Have chairs, please.
Oh, thank you. Sit down, Paul.
Okay, sir.
Mrs. Ace, is this your first loan with our company?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Why? Your advertisement doesn't say experience necessary.
No, I mean, have you an established credit here? What is your full name, please?
Jane Ace. Mrs. Jane Ace.
Mrs. Jane Ace.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm Mr. Wilkes.
Yes, we've met. And this is my brother, Paul Sherwood.
How do you do, Mr. Seesum?
I've met your brother, and my name isn't Seesum. It's Wilkerson. Now, how much money do you want to borrow, Mrs. Ace?
Please, Mr. Wilkerson, if you're going to keep talking that loud, I'd rather see Mr. Seesum.
There is no Mr. Seesum. I lend the money. Now, how much do you want?
$212.75.
$212.75. That's rather an odd amount, isn't it?
Well, the 200's for me. I'm getting my wife a tonsillectomy for an anniversary gift.
Yes, and on the way down, I saw a sale on hats for $12.75. So I thought we might as well kill two birds with one lump, you see? Well, Mr. Wilkerson?
Yes.
Or Mr. Seesum, as the case may be?
Just a minute. You, sir, you're getting your wife a tonsillectomy as an anniversary gift?
Yeah, that's right. You see, I'm not working right now, and I need this money, and my sister here is going to sign the note for me. She's Mrs. A.
How do you do?
How do you... What?
What?
Let's start over. How do you do? I'm Mr. Wilkerson. You want to borrow some money.
Please, not so loud. I told you my brother wants to borrow $212.75, and I'm going to sign the note for him.
I see, but he isn't working, and what is your business, Mrs. Ace?
Sister to the defendant.
What's that?
I'm his sister, and if he needs the money, the least I can do is sign a note for him because I haven't got any money to lend him.
And what good is your signature on the note?
Why, good. Well, I don't know who would sign for a person if his own sister wouldn't. And if I'm wrong, I'm not far from it. Doesn't it to you, Mr. Seesum?
Let me see what happened. I was sitting here in my office, quietly reading Dick Tracy, when you came in and said you wanted to borrow $212.75. And you want to sign the note, and you have no security.
That's it.
Do you have any charge accounts in any of the stores, Mrs. A?
Oh, sure, but I wouldn't want them to know about borrowing this money because it says confidential.
Just a minute. I'll call upstairs and check on your credit.
Yes, Martin speaking. Over.
Martin, this is Wilkerson. I have a Mrs. Jane Ace here who wants to borrow $212.75. Will you check her credit for me?
Mrs. Jane Ace wants to borrow $212.75. Over.
Fine, confidential.
That's right, Martin. $212.75.
That's a rather odd amount, isn't it? Over.
Well, $200 is for a tonsillectomy her brother is giving his wife for a wedding anniversary.
Testing. 1, 2. Testing. 1, 2. Sounded like you said he's giving her a tonsillectomy for a wedding anniversary. Over.
That's right, Martin. And the other $12.75 is for a hat she saw in a clearance sale on the way down here. Check it, will you, Martin?
Will do.
Roger. There you are, Mrs. Ace. How's that for confidential loan service?
Mr. Wilkerson, was that coast to coast?
That's our efficient credit system. It'll only take a minute. While we're waiting, you can look over this application. And here are the weekly rates. For a loan of $212.75, you have to pay back $4.40 a week for 1 year.
$40.40 a week is reasonable.
Oh, there's Martin again.
This must be the repeat broadcast for the West Coast.
Yes, Martin?
Mrs. Ace is NG. All charge accounts are in her husband's name. He's okay. Over.
Roger. Thanks, Martin. Sorry, Mrs. Ace, you're NG.
What's that? Not guilty?
Yes. No. It means your signature is not acceptable. But if your husband will sign this note, we'll make the loan. Take that application and have him sign it.
Well, okay. I guess we'll have to do that, Paul.
But he'll never sign that note, Jay.
Oh, I know how to handle him, Paul. I've got him in the hollow of my head. Just leave it to your Uncle Dulcie. We'll see you later, Mr. Seesum.
My name is Wilkerson.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my brother.
Yes, I've met your brother, Mr. Seesum.
I'm not Seesum. You said you were Seesum.
How do you do?
How do you... No, now, just a minute. Everybody cool down. When you first walked in here, you said you wanted to see some. I said, how do you do? I'm Mr. Wilkerson.
Yes, we've met.
Yes. No, I thought you said Seesum, and you thought I was saying I'm Mr. Seesum. But I'm Mr. Wilkerson. That's how the whole thing started. Now, isn't that clear, Mrs. Ace?
Oh, I get it now. You see the mistake we made, Paul?
Yeah. Let's go, Jane.
Yeah, let's go. Well, see you later, Mr. Seesum.
Oh, murder.
As Jane and Paul sailed gracefully out of the confidential loan company, they waved a fond farewell to Mr. Wilkerson, sinking slowly in the west. Now, if you were a betting man, wouldn't you give 100 to 1 that I wouldn't sign that note? Save your money. A few minutes before Jane and her brother got to my office, I had a visit from my boss. That would be Mr. J.K. Norris of Dutton, Sutton, Mutton, and Norris. I don't know how he got in there. J.K. talks like a copybook. He believes a man's best friend is his motto.
Procrastination is the thief of time.
He's been married 3 times.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
But in spite of his corny talk, I like J.K. He's a lonely man, has no children.
If at first you don't succeed...
Yes. As I was saying, just before Jane and Paul got to my office, Mr. Norris had come rushing in quite pleased with an idea I had thought up for a new cigarette our firm was going to advertise.
Mr. Ace, my congratulations on that cigarette advertising campaign.
Thank you, sir.
I knew when you and Thompson could get together, you'd turn out a great campaign. 2 heads are better than 1, I always say.
But I did this one myself, Mr. Norris.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Good work, Mr. Ace. Too many cooks spoil the broth, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
This is the freshest, most original cigarette campaign I've seen in years. This will put Royal Cigarettes on the map in 1 month.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norris. I'm glad the Royal Cigarette people like this.
Yes,
because...
sir. We're going to plaster the town with these cards.
Yeah?
They'll be in every subway, backstage in theaters, department stores, movie houses, every place where they don't allow smoking. There'll be a sign that says, no smoking. Not even Royal Cigarettes.
Yeah, and I think the top line should say no smoking, and underneath that, in smaller type, that should be not even Royal Cigarettes, you see?
Yes, because... yes, exactly as you have it in your copy.
That's right.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Jane.
Well, Mrs. A.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
You're just in time, Mrs. A.
I'm just fine. Oh, well, this is my brother Paul, Mr. Norris.
How do you do?
Glad to meet you, Mr. Norris.
Mrs. Ace, I was just congratulating your husband on a fine job he did for our cigarette account.
Oh, it was nothing, really, Mr. Norris.
Nothing, he says. Don't let his modesty fool you, Mrs. Ace.
All right.
Jane, ask him about
that. I can safely say at this point that your husband is the most valuable man in our shop. Give credit where credit is due, I always say.
You do? I always say feed a cold and starve a fever.
Jane, please.
Yeah, I hope you're as proud of him as I am, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, I am.
Jane, ask him to sign the...
Once again, congratulations, Mr. Ace.
Well, thanks, but...
Congratulations, dear.
Well, thanks, Jane,
Jane,
but really...
Jane, ask him to sign
this
the...
campaign will make you famous, Mr. Ace. How about it, Mrs. Ace? Your husband's a celebrity.
Oh, now, please.
Oh, celebrity. Oh, dear, I'm so proud of you. It's like having a movie star in the family.
Movie star? I suppose next you'll be asking for my autograph.
Jane, how about getting him to sign
that? Autograph? Yes, that's an idea. Give me your autograph, dear.
Oh, now, Jane, that's carrying a joke
but
too far.
But, dear, you're a celebrity.
I know.
Go ahead,
dear.
Mr. Ace. Give your wife your autograph.
But, Mr. Norris, oh, this is embarrassing.
Here you are, dear, on this piece of paper. Right here. Here's your pen.
Oh, I feel kind of idiotic, but... you insist. What is this paper I'm...
Go ahead. Sign your name.
All right. Here you are. It's kind of silly. Autograph to my own wife.
That's it. Now, thanks, dear. Give me that.
Nice work, sir.
What was that piece of paper, Jane?
Well,
that you
Mrs. Ace, let's clear out and leave the big man to his own thoughts.
confidentially. I think he wants to be alone.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm going. Come on, Paul. See you later, dear.
All I can say in defense of my simpering self is that I am the first and only co-signer who ever signed his name, Sincerely Yours. I never would have known I even signed the thing if something hadn't happened a week later. Jane and I were sitting around the living room after dinner, and I was doing a little bragging. Jane, remember that cigarette campaign Mr. Norris congratulated me on about a week ago? He gave me a $500 bonus today. Pretty good, huh?
Yes, dear.
Well, is that the most enthusiasm you could work up? I thought at least you'd cheer.
Yippee, dear.
Well, thanks, if you can spare that. Oh, maybe this will brighten you up, though. I'm going to take 200 of this bonus and give it to Paul. Arlene does have to have her tonsils out, and as long as
no,
I have...
No, dear, you don't have to now.
But, Jane, it was only a week ago today that you came...
I know, dear, but Paul got that money already.
Where?
Last week. But I'll tell you what you can
no,
do.
No, I said where did Paul get...
You want to do somebody a favor. How about increasing my allowance?
Where did Paul get the two... Increasing your allowance? How much?
Oh, around $4.40 a week.
$4.40. How did you arrive at that round figure?
Well, I might as well get this out of my cistern.
Okay, cistern. What is it?
I'll begin at the beginning.
Yes, you do that.
I'll make it short and sappy.
Nash.
Remember last week when I came to your office and you were a celebrity and you signed your autograph on a piece of paper I gave you?
Fine celebrity, yeah.
Well, that day you opened a charge account at the confidential loan company.
Yeah, fine. I what?
Paul borrowed $200 and you autographed the note.
Oh, no.
That's the price of fame, dear.
Oh, no, Jane.
Oh, yes. And today they called up that Paul missed the first payment. $4.40.
And they expect me to make good on... I won't do it. I'll call Paul. I'll call the loan company. I'll call Arlene and tell her what her husband did. I'll call...
There's one call you forgot, dear.
What's that?
Well, while you're at it, call the doctor and tell him to put Arlene's tonsils back.
Isn't that awful?
Next week, Chapter 2, entitled... Jane gets a summons to serve on a jury, but she doesn't like the case being tried, so she goes upstairs and gets on another jury hearing a spicy divorce case, making it 11 on one jury and 13 on another, and Mr. Ace gets fined $50 for contempt of court. Or...
Is there no justice? Good night.
Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was Mr. Ace and Jane on Tune 2 Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from January 16, 1948. We're enjoying sitcoms from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVigneur. Up next, Lucille Ball and Richard Denning star in an episode of My Favorite Husband, a CBS episode from January 13, 1951, called The Stage Act.
Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband. Series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers this morning, George is still upstairs getting dressed, and Liz is in the kitchen talking to Katie, the maid.
Oh, Katie, I'm so excited. You know that big benefit review for the Red Cross next week?
Yes.
Well, George and I are putting on an act. We're representing my club.
But Mr. Cooper hates everything about your club. Didn't he put up an awful squawk?
Word, and I've got everything set except one tiny detail.
What's that?
I haven't told him yet.
But I don't want to be around when you tell him. It's frightening when he gets angry.
Oh, now, Katie, George has perfect control of himself these days. He doesn't say a word when he gets mad. He just sits there and turns different colors.
That's what I mean. He looks like a rainbow.
Yes, and lately he's getting the pot to go with it.
Hey, it's pretty lonesome in here.
Oh, I'm coming, Cream Puff. Well, how is my wonderful husband this morning? Give me a kiss. Mmm. Oh, George, you're so handsome and clever and charming and cuddly.
All right.
What do you want this time?
Nothing. I just love you, that's all. Hold me tight.
Okay.
Tighter. Tighter. Tighter.
Oh, but Liz.
Go on. Pretend I'm an old tunnel and cave my sides in.
Honey, what are you up to?
If you think I have an ulterior motive, I don't even want to talk to you.
Oh, honey.
I merely wanted your advice about the Red Cross review next week.
Oh, what's your problem?
Well, one of the members of my club volunteered to do an act with her husband.
That ought to be nauseating.
Hmm. Well, this member is in an awful fix, George. She volunteered without telling her husband about it.
She did? Mm-hmm. You mean he doesn't know anything about it?
No.
Oh, brother. I'd like to be there when the poor sucker finds out.
You will. I don't see what's so bad about it. What would you do if it was your wife, George?
I'd give her a good swift kick in the pants.
You wouldn't.
Oh, just think of that poor devil having to get up and make a fool of himself. Who is it, Liz?
You. Well, at least you're a man of your word.
Oh, you're kidding, Liz. You didn't really mean us, did you?
Well, wait till I get out of range. Yes, George, I did.
But why? You know, if there's one thing I hate more than that club of yours, it's amateur theatrical.
But it's for the Red Cross, George. And you know the wonderful work they do helping disaster victims and promoting health and safety.
No, I know, dear, and we'll give them a big contribution, just as everyone should. But I refuse to get up there and look silly.
Oh!
And crying won't get you any place.
But you wouldn't look silly, George. You're so smart and so clever.
I'll leave that stuff to the idiots who put on ladies' hats at parties.
Look at all the stage experience you've had. What about the musicals you did at college? You had the lead in the senior show, didn't you?
Well, I sang a few numbers.
Oh, I'll never forget it. There you were in your green and white blazer and your straw hat singing Boola, Boola, Boola.
Boola, Boola. Liz, you tricked me.
Think, George. Jolson made a comeback. Why not you?
Boola, boola, boo. No, Liz, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you just don't remember how great you were, George.
No. You tried that already.
Oh, I forgot. Well, all right for you, George Cooper.
Did you send for me, Mr. Atterbury?
Yes, yes, Cooper. Come in, boy. How long have you been with the bank, Cooper?
14 years.
And you worked all the way up to fifth vice president. Remarkable.
Thank you.
Well, George, I have a job that's worthy of you, boy.
Yeah, what, sir?
You're going to represent the bank in a large public relations project, boy.
Oh, boy.
Are you making fun of me?
No, sir.
Oh. Well, there's a big review being given for the Red Cross next week. And I thought you and Liz could work up a little song and dance routine.
Oh, Mr. Atterbury, I simply can't.
Cooper, boy.
Well, why did you choose me anyway?
Because you have talent. You're a natural, boy. Why, the other night at Anderson's party, you were a scream the way you wore those ladies' hats.
Yeah, Mr. Atterbury, I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
You'll do it or I'll bust you to sixth vice president.
You wouldn't.
Wouldn't I? I'll bust you to office, boy. Office boy!
But the sixth vice president is the office boy.
I'll give you three. One, two...
All right, Mr. Atterbury, you talked me into it.
Good boy, boy.
That's right. I'm sorry, but that's the way it has to be. Goodbye. Well, that's it, Katie. I told my club we couldn't do the act.
Isn't there some way you can change Mr. Cooper's mind?
Nope. I gave him a kiss that lasted 10 minutes, and he still said no.
Well, maybe a real good dinner will do the trick.
Katie, if the heavy artillery didn't work, what good's a cap pistol? Oh, when George Cooper says no, he means it.
There's no business like show business like no business I know. Hiya, Liz.
Hiya, Bing.
How do the old pipes sound, huh?
Well, they could stand a little Drano. What's the matter with you, George?
Nothing, honey. I've just been thinking. You were right this morning when you said we should all pitch in and help out the Red Cross.
You mean you'll do the act with me?
Yes, sir. And I've even worked out a wonderful act for us. Starring you, of course.
Oh, well, we should both be in it equally.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm no fool. You're the one they look at, the good-looking girl.
Well, thanks, but I think that we
now,
should
here,
both...
Now, here, I've got it all written down, see?
Uh-huh.
We'll open with a song.
Mm-hmm.
Zing with the strings of my heart.
Oh, I love this number.
Good. Now, come over to the piano and let's see how our voices sound together.
Mm-hmm.
You sing the part that's underlined.
Okay.
Dear, when you smiled at me, I heard a melody. It haunted me from the start. Something inside of me started a symphony.
Zing.
Went the strings of my heart. I still recall the thrill. I guess I always will. I hope you'll never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine.
Zing.
Dear, when you smile at me...
Wait a minute. Hold it, Frankie boy.
What's the matter?
I lost my place. This is a great part you gave me. Do you think my voice will hold up?
But, baby, don't you see? You're the star of this song.
I am?
It means nothing without you.
It doesn't?
Of course not. Now, we never know how the strings of my heart go until you tell us. Then we know they zing.
Well, the whole thing zings, if you ask me.
All right, we'll get another opening song. In the meantime, let's work on this buff comedy material I've prepared.
All right, let's hear this buff comedy material.
Okay. Now, after one chorus of the song, I click this little clicker.
You what?
Click my clicker, like this.
Oh.
And we stop. Mm-hmm. I say, hiya, Liz. And you come right back with, hiya, George. See?
Well, now there's a clever opening.
Now, Liz.
All right. Hiya, George.
Huh.
Then after I wait for a laugh, what do I say?
Here's your script. Now, hiya, Liz.
Hiya, George.
You know, a tramp came up to me and said he hadn't had a bite in days.
What did you do?
I bit him.
Uh-huh. Did you hear about...
No, that's my line.
Oh.
Did you hear about the big fire down at the shoe factory?
What happened?
200 souls were lost.
Well, at least there'll be one person laughing at it. You know, there are two things I
can't... No, that's my line.
Oh.
You know, there are two things I can't...
Wait a minute, brother. You tell all the jokes. So far, I haven't had a thing to say. I'm Liz Cooper, not Harpo Marx.
Now, dear, every comedian has to have a straight man.
Well, couldn't I be just a little crooked now and then?
But the straight man is the backbone of the comedy team. After all, what would Amos do without Andy? What would Lum do without Abner?
They could form a new team, Lum and Amos. Oh, well, how will it look, George? After all, we're representing my club.
Well, Liz, I wanted to speak to you about that. Mr. Atterbury called me in today and, well, he wanted us to represent the bank.
Oh, I get it. When I want to do it, it's a lot of silly nonsense. When Atterbury wants you to do it, there's no business like show business.
Oh, now, Liz, don't be like that. Remember, the show must go on.
Well, it can go on without me.
But I need a partner. What can I do?
Get Edgar Bergen to help you. You can work sitting down.
All right. If you're going to be that way, I'll just have to get one of the girls down at the bank to be my partner.
Oh, go ahead. I've seen those girls down at the bank. There isn't a woman there who has one zing left in her. Go ahead, I dare you. Let me get the door, Katie. It's George's new song and dance partner. I want to take a look at the old fuddy-duddy.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Cooper.
Yes?
Hello there. I'm Miss Williams. The bank sent me out. This is 321 Bundy, isn't it?
Sorry, wrong number. Goodbye.
Oh, just a moment. This is the address they gave me. Doesn't Mr. Cooper live here?
Well, he lives here, but you just missed him. He left on a trip to South America.
He did? How odd.
Yes, well, goodbye.
Well, hello, Miss Williams. Come on in.
Why, Mr. Cooper. I thought you and South...
George! Welcome home!
What? I only went out to put the car in the garage.
Well, you said he went to South America.
Well, I always get confused. Our car is a Rio.
I was supposed to be here tonight, wasn't I, Mr. Cooper?
Why, certainly. Come inside where we can be alone, and we'll start rehearsing.
Anything you say, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, why don't you call me George?
Mrs. Cooper, did you see the old fuddy-duddy?
Oh, Katie.
Well, what's the matter?
I made a terrible mistake, Katie. Her fuddy isn't duddy at all.
They've been in there an hour together. Aren't you worried about your husband?
Why, Katie, certainly not.
Well, don't you wonder what they're doing?
Katie, I want you to know I trust my husband implicitly.
Then why are you standing on that chair and peeking in the transom?
I'm not peeking in the transom. I'm dusting. Katie, why do you suppose they're so quiet in there?
I don't know.
How are they telling those jokes? By sign language? If they'd just make some noise, anything, I'd feel better.
Oh, Mr. Cooper.
Do you feel better?
Oh, George knows I'm out here, and he's just doing that for my benefit. I know him. Actually, Katie, he's miserable.
Listen to him laughing through his tears.
Well, I think I'll just open the door a teensy crack just to give him some air.
All right, Miss Williams. Now that you've memorized it, try that straight line.
Oh, you're so handsome. Take me in your arms and kiss me.
I'm going in there, Katie. Hand me that bowl of fruit.
But he said it was just a straight line.
Well, that straight line sounds like the shortest distance between two points. This I gotta see.
Oh, that's good, Miss Williams. Now, I take you in my arms, bend you backwards, and kiss you. Now, try that line again.
Take me in your arms and kiss me.
My God.
Anybody want an apple?
No thanks, Liz. Go ahead, Miss Williams.
Take me in your arms and kiss me.
My God.
Do you want an apple, Miss Williams?
No thanks.
Look, Liz, we're trying to rehearse.
Well, I thought you might be hungry. Wouldn't you like a piece of garlic or something?
Liz, you can stay here and watch if you want, but we are not hungry. Understand?
Yes, George.
Take me in your arms and kiss me.
My darling.
Cigar, cigarette, smoke, anyone?
Liz.
Cigar, Miss Williams?
Now stop that, Liz. What are you trying to do?
I think we'd better eliminate the kiss, Mr. Cooper. Mrs. Cooper's a little jealous.
Me? Jealous? Ha! I'm just trying to protect him. The last time he kissed a girl on stage, he got hurt.
Hurt?
Yes, his glasses got steamed up and he fell in the orchestra pit.
Liz, you're being silly, but if you want us to take this kissing bit out of the act, well, we'll just...
Whatever gave you that idea? Please, George, you don't really think I'm jealous.
Well, you seem to...
Why should I care if you want to get up there and kiss an older woman?
Now, wait a minute. You don't have to get nasty with me, Mrs. Cooper. I'm not going to steal your son away.
You poor man's Marjorie Maine.
Don't start anything and I'll black your eyes and match your hair.
My hair is red.
I'm talking about the roots.
Now stop it. Stop it, both of you. Liz, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Miss Williams is a guest in our house.
Well, I offer
offered her an apple and a cigar.
Well, I'd better be leaving. I must say, I never saw anyone so jealous. I'm surprised you let your husband go to work, Mrs. Cooper. How do you keep the secretaries from sitting on his lap?
I shop in his knees every morning. Goodbye.
Mrs. Cooper, who's that handsome man in the living room?
Well, Katie, I made such a fool of myself last night that I decided to fight fire with fire.
That hunk of man in the living room would set fire to anyone.
Well, his name is Jerry Moore, and I'm going to rehearse a love scene with him. And when George sees us, he'll be so jealous, he'll get rid of Miss Williams and ask me to do his act with him.
I hope you're right.
Oh, I know George. Now, you'll see.
Well, good luck to you.
George.
Hmm? Yes, dear.
I've decided to be in the review after all. A tall, tall, dark, handsome man is going to do a passionate love scene with me.
Good.
A real passionate love scene.
No, that's fine.
Now, George, don't lose your temper.
What?
Oh, you're so jealous. Do you mind if we rehearse in here?
Well, I don't care where you rehearse.
Temper, temper. Come in, Gerald. George, this is Gerald Moore.
Jerry!
George, how are you? My gosh, I haven't seen you in a long time.
You know each other?
Know each other? We were fraternity brothers.
Rack-a-tack-a-foo-foo, rack-a-tack-a-putt. Yippee-yippee-yi, hooray for us. Sock 'em, skin 'em, throw 'em in the soul. Cronomaker, Cronomaker, go, go, go. Yay!
Well, deem off my raccoon coat. If you're ready, Jerry, let's start the scene.
Yeah, I'll sit over here out of the way.
Oh, don't mind him. He's insanely jealous. Go right ahead.
Oh, my darling. I love you.
I love you, too. Kiss me.
Yes. Yes, I'll kiss you. On the eyes. On the mouth. On the throat.
Oh. Pretty hot, huh, George?
Say, Jerry, whatever happened to Bill Anderson?
Oh, take me, my love. I'm yours.
This is the moment I've dreamed of. When our hearts meet and our souls meet. At last, you're mine. All mine.
I think he's running a butcher shop.
Ah, my beloved. Let me melt into your arms.
Did you ever buy anything from him?
Once. Come to me, darling. Darling, every fiber of my being is tingling with ecstasy. I love you.
A pound of liver. What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. What do you think you're holding, Bill Anderson or a pound of liver?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's try it again.
Oh,
huh?
Forget it.
No, I think you ought to do the act, Liz. It's very funny.
Funny?
Sure.
Well, he's right, Mrs. Cooper. It'll get a million laughs.
It's the funniest thing I've seen in years.
That's right. Go ahead. Fight over me.
Going on, you cancel your act, but you dress up in costume and come down here to the theater anyway.
Oh, George doesn't know it, Katie, but I'm going to be his partner, and you watch and see who gets the laugh. Oh, wait a minute. pardon me, what act is on the stage now?
Evelyn and her magic kazoo.
Oh.
Next is George Cooper and Marilyn Williams.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there's Miss Williams now. What are you going to do about her?
Just watch. Oh, Miss Williams, George wants to see you.
Oh, really? Where is he?
Oh, right in this dressing room.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Cooper?
There. That'll take care of you for a while.
Why, Mrs. Cooper, you locked her in the dressing room.
Yeah. Ain't I a stinker? Now, where's George? Oh, there he is in the wings. Hi, George.
Hi, Liz. You haven't seen Miss Williams, have you? Liz, what are you doing in that costume?
Well, Miss Williams asked me to tell you she couldn't make it, George. I'm going to take her place.
No, you can't do it. You don't even know what the routine is.
Yes, I do. I've been listening to you rehearse.
You're on now, Cooper.
Oh, Liz, are you sure you know what to say?
Yes.
Now, remember, I say the first line, and then you answer me, and then I give the joke.
George, you're going to be surprised at the way I say my line.
Oh, come on, Cooper, come on. We're waiting. Oh, well, I guess there's nothing else to do. That's our introduction. Here we go.
Okay.
You wore a tulip, a sweet yellow tulip, and I wore a big red rose.
Hiya, George.
Hi, Liz. You know, a tramp came up to me and said he hadn't had a bite in days.
What'd you do, bite him?
I bet...
When you caress me, cause then heaven bless me, what a blessing no one knows.
Say, Liz, did you hear about the big fire at the shoe factory?
I bet some heel started it.
200... No, Liz, you're supposed to say what happened.
Huh?
What happened?
200 souls were lost.
Oh.
You made life cheery when you called me, dearie. Twas down where the bluegrass grows.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Bones.
I'm taking no chances with you this time. I'm telling a joke you never heard of before. I know a girl who's so dumb, she thinks a football coach has four wheels.
How many wheels does it have?
Your lips were sweeter than tulip when you wore that tulip, and I wore a big red rose.
Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, starring in My Favorite Husband, a CBS broadcast from January 13, 1951. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.